The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Where does Scripture talk about confessing and denying Christ, and what is it talking about? If we are not involved enough in evangelism, will we end up in hell? Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus, the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're so glad you're here. Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin will be along in just a second to give an answer to these questions. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org, and find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
Steve, do you have a question for us?
Sure do. A lady named Lisa writes and says, "Will you go to hell if you have no transportation to get out and witness to people?"
Well, first of all, I think what's underneath it is Matthew 10, 32 and 33, where Jesus says, "He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven." And Paul picks up on that and interprets it, I believe, in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And did you know there are actually some translations that say, if we disown him, he will disown us?
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
That's a horrendous translation.
The word orneomai might have six different definitions. That's not one of them.
No, that's not one of them. And Peter denied Christ three times.
Yeah,
and yet Peter is certainly born again.
Right.
What Paul is saying and what the Lord Jesus is saying is that if we are someone who is acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ, we are people who are going to be confessed by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. But if we're not, then we are going to be denied by Christ the privilege of ruling with him. In 2 Timothy 2:12, he says, if we endure, we'll reign with him. I remember talking to Zane Hodges about this, and he said, it's interesting. He doesn't say, if we confess him, we will reign with him. He says, if we endure. And Hodges suggested that's probably because this endurance is both in our confession of Christ and in our life. Jesus said, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, Revelation 2:26.
We know that Matthew 10 and the other parallel passages that say if we confess Christ, he'll confess us before the Father, referring to eternal rewards, partly because of the other language he uses in the verse, before my Father, and when I come in the glory of the angels and so forth, are always used in rewards passages.
Yes.
For instance, also in Revelation, Jesus says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, Lycetes, meaning there's going to be some good things written about you in the book of life.
Right.
But I will confess his name before my Father and his angels.
In that words, same thought in Matthew 10:32 is picked up again in Revelation 3:5.
Exactly. And the confessing our name before the Father and the angels is directly connected to rewards in the overcomer passage.
In fact, in that particular passage, they get special white garments.
Exactly.
And that's just one of the rewards of the overcomer. There are other rewards like the hidden manna, the right to the tree of life, some special white stone with a special nickname on it, and of course, ruling with Christ.
You know, Eric Sauer wrote an excellent book called In the Arena of Faith.
Uh-huh.
And he points out in the overcomer passages, these are not rewards to the church in general, like every church member, every believer is going to be an overcomer. These are to individuals who overcome in the specific things he's talking about in each one of these specific seven letters to the churches. They're specific rewards to specific people. We're not lost in the mass of humanity, if you will. It's specific rewards to specific overcoming actions.
And let me suggest that, are you familiar with what's called a Venn diagram?
Yeah.
So a Venn diagram is what? Two circles that have some small area of overlap.
Right.
And then you kind of highlight the area of overlap. Well, that's true of confessing Christ in evangelism.
Yeah.
They are not identical circles.
Right.
evangelism is more than confessing Christ.
Sure.
In fact, I would suggest the primary way in which we confess Christ is going to church every
Amen.
Sunday, right?
I agree, yeah.
And so if you're going to church every Sunday, you are publicly acknowledging that you are a believer in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Baptism is another way of confessing Christ,
that
right?
That was the New Testament way of showing that you are one who, quote, called on the name of the Lord. Ananias said to Paul, what's to prevent you from being baptized and calling on the name of the Lord? Those who call on the name of the Lord were public Christians. They did it publicly. In fact, in Romans 10, 9 and 13, they're used interchangeably. To confess Christ means to confess him publicly.
Right.
And to call upon him means to call upon him publicly. And we do that primarily through baptism, public baptism. I'm identifying with Christ and going to church.
Right. Now, if you evangelize someone, that is a form of confessing Christ.
Of course.
But that's certainly not the only way we confess Christ. And if we fail to evangelize, that doesn't mean we're not confessing Christ. I would imagine there are probably people who rarely evangelize. They don't even think they evangelize, but in reality they do, because at times they will tell people about Jesus and they will, if the subject comes up, they'll talk about it. But they're not real aggressive in going up and confronting every person they meet. That doesn't mean that they're not people who are confessing Christ.
I think the best evangelizing we can do is planting seeds, not having some big presentation, but just planting some thoughts, planting some seeds. When I was in seminary, I was, you know, sure of my salvation. I knew I was a believer and all that. But I still was under a pile of guilt, because in seminary, you've got this boatload of knowledge that's been dumped on you. And I was feeling so guilty if I wasn't out witnessing. I felt guilty, a little bit obsessive compulsive about it. And I talked to Zane after a class one day, and he said, Steve, the best witnessing you can do is simply out of a heart filled with Christ. And I think he was alluding to Matthew 12, where Jesus says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. So Zane's emphasis was fill your heart with Christ, and you'll naturally talk about him.
That's been my experience. I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ crew for 4 years. I also was a student leader for 2 years. My first year at Dallas Seminary, we went over to SMU, and I was involved with a crew ministry over at SMU. So for those 7 years, I shared my faith with an awful lot of people one-on-one. However, I would say a lot of my evangelism was like you said. I felt compelled to do this because this was what I was taught I was supposed to do, right? And I was supposed to confront total strangers and do this. There was a lot of good I did during those 7 years. But the truth is, since then, I share my faith a lot more and differently. Right. I share it as an overflow of my love for God, my love for the Lord Jesus Christ, my love for the fact that I know I have everlasting life, and I want other people to know that.
Peter talks about declaring the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Back in that day, too, when I was in seminary, I remember playing golf with a friend out at Tennyson Park, and I was under such a pile of guilt that I wasn't out witnessing. I just felt miserable, and I was trying to make him feel miserable that he wasn't out witnessing. We shouldn't be playing golf. We needed to be out witnessing. That was not pleasing to the Lord.
Let me ask you the opposite question. Is it possible to evangelize people and yet not confess Christ?
I'm not sure where you're going with this. Are you saying if you're not talking about who Christ is or using Christ's name, or maybe not confessing that you're a believer in Christ? I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, if confessing Christ is baptism, going to church, and maybe even, let's say, talking about I have faith in Jesus— isn't it possible for a person to evangelize and talk about how good they are and how their life has changed and they're such a good person? And if you change your life and turn from all your sinful ways,
sure,
and if you follow Jesus Christ, then you too can be saved. That wouldn't really be confessing Christ, would it?
That wouldn't be confessing Christ. And if you're sharing a false gospel that is works-oriented salvation,
it's not really confessing
Christ.
You're
not confessing the Christ of the Bible. It's a good works Christ. It's some anti-false, fake Christ.
That's what John says in 1 John. He calls him Antichrist.
Right.
So it seems to me it's not an automatic that when people hand out tracts or when people talk to other people about Jesus, that they're accurately confessing Christ.
No, not unless that tract is very accurate.
And that's why, by the way, I think it's important that when you hand out material, make sure the material is accurate. I got an email about this the other day, and I recommended, hey, we've got a lot of different books and booklets that you can hand out that are very accurate. And by the way, I love the Living Water booklet, mm-hmm. which is the Gospel of John with a few footnotes, mm-hmm. and I helped write some of the footnotes. So I think her question is very important, and we need to recognize, look, it's not a matter of whether you have transportation or not. If you're a shut-in and you are walking in the light of God's Word, well, you're confessing Christ. You may not have many opportunities as a shut-in to talk to people about Christ, although some shut-ins make those opportunities. But the truth is, you're confessing Christ if you're part of a local assembly. It's not a matter of how much we share our faith. It's a matter of, are we people who are confessing Christ? And as we said at the beginning, I think the primary way to do this is plug into a solid Bible-teaching church.
That's excellent. And usually those churches have great ministries that you can volunteer in on top of it.
Yeah. Now, we're all going to get opportunities to share our faith, and it starts with our own family, right? With our children, with our brothers and sisters, with our parents, with others. But that is not a condition of everlasting life. The only condition of everlasting life is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for it.
You know, one last thing I'd like to throw in is
yeah.
the easiest people to evangelize, little children.
Amen.
And there's plenty of opportunities at every church
That's right.
to volunteer in children's ministry.
Amen. Thank you, Steve, and keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next edition, is the ABC method of evangelism a good one? Make sure to join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.